Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself, expressvpn.com/Charlie.
Hey, everybody, welcome to this episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. This is producer Andrew, otherwise known as Andrew Colvett, filling in for Charlie Kirk. He's got something extremely exciting that he was doing today. I'm very jealous. We'll tell you about it soon. For right now, just trust me, it's good. It's going to be great. I'm here because the show must go on, and we had the one-year anniversary of the death of George Floyd. What do we make of it 1 year later? What's the takeaways? What have we learned? How has the nation changed, and is it going to get a lot worse before it gets better? We talk about all this and more. We go over some important stats. We play some important tape. Guys, you're not going to want to miss it. If this show means something to you, we appreciate your support more than you can imagine. Go to charliekirk.com/support. Help us out. You help make this whole thing work, and we're so appreciative for your help. Without further ado, buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
The school year is ending, and families are making plans to send their kids to summer camp. But kids with a mom or dad in prison are often forgotten and overlooked. That's where Prison Fellowship's Angel Tree Camps come in. Hi, this is Charlie Kirk, and I'm partnering again this year with Prison Fellowship to send 163 kids to camp this summer. Their lives will never be the same, and neither will yours when you help send a kid to camp. A one-time donation of $200 provides a scholarship to send a kid to an Angel Tree summer camp where they can build a relationship with a caring camp counselor, hear the gospel, and experience the love of God in the great outdoors. If you have fond memories of a summer camp experience, you can help make a child have some of those best memories one can have. $200 sends one child to camp. Your donation of any amount will help. Call 888-206-2802. That's 888-206-2802. Or go to charliekirk.com to make your donation today. Help a kid go to summer camp, charliekirk.com.
So today is May 25th. It's a big day, and everybody's talking about it across the Twitter sphere, across mainstream news media, legacy news media, conservative news media. Everybody's talking about it. This is the one-year anniversary of the death of George Floyd. And, you know, it's a truly remarkable moment we are all living through, because it is a one-year indictment, generally speaking, rather. It's a one-year indictment on a vast left-wing conspiracy to gaslight the entire American public. We now have enough evidence. We now have enough circumstantial evidence, anecdotal. We also have the data to back it up that what the activists have been pushing for since 1 year ago today, and the death of George Floyd, and it is tragic. When anybody dies, it's tragic. But George Floyd very well could have died from an overdose. Now, a jury of his peers has convicted former Officer Chauvin, of murder. But the facts remain that there were certain people that were testifying that this could have been from an overdose. Now, there was other people that said that Officer Chauvin didn't kill him, that he didn't actually cause the death of George Floyd. Now, that video was a lot emotionally for everybody to get over. It was hard to watch, no doubt. I was in the group of folks that was assuming that this was going to be a manslaughter conviction. But as the trial played out, there was incredible political pressure put on that jury. They were not sequestered. We have been all over these facts on the Charlie Kirk Show. We will continue to stay on them, as it's possible that whole trial will be appealed and could possibly get overturned on appeal. So we're going to be taking a close look at that as details roll in. Nevertheless, here we are a year later. We have seen the explosion of the defund police movement. We have seen rising crime across the country. And it's truly been tragic for America. Now, the left-wing media wants to blame this on the pandemic. The rise in crime is all because of the pandemic, because of the lockdowns, and because of this unprecedented moment in our nation's history and the world history. That's just not the truth, folks. I think common sense, reason, and the facts all back up the fact that this is Democrat-caused chaos raging across our country. The cities are returning to an era of urban blight that we have not seen since the 90s, when finally the nation rose up and said, we've had enough, and they elected strong, tough-on-crime mayors in some of America's top cities, including Mayor Rudy Giuliani in New York. There was actually Richard Reardon, who was mayor of Los Angeles from 1993 to 2001, who also contributed in a massive way to bringing more police officers on the streets. Thousands in Los Angeles. Crime dropped across the country. And just as the Israelites forgot the goodness of God who brought them out of slavery and bondage, the American people have forgot themselves, and they have forgotten the way that we got the cities to a safe place, out of the crime-infested 80s and 90s, early 90s, into a place of booming prosperity, economic development, and yes, that nasty word gentrification, which comes with increased economic opportunity for businesses and developers. And it does displace people. It certainly does. But nevertheless, cities were getting cleaner. They were getting safer. They were getting more prosperous. People were flocking to the cities. And now, thanks to everything that's happened 1 year ago today, people are fleeing the cities. People are getting out of the cities. Now, part of that is because of the pandemic, certainly. But a large part of that, the nail in the coffin, so to speak, the pandemic maybe started the fleeing from the cities. But the BLM riots of the summer, BLM Inc., as we like to call them here on the Charlie Kirk Show, certainly brought it to a whole new level. And I want to focus on this article, and I call her the professor of Turning Point USA, the professor of the Charlie Kirk Show. She's certainly one of the main thought leaders on the right, Heather McDonald. She's a tremendous scholar, Manhattan Institute. She's a contributing editor, I believe, for the City Journal, which is phenomenal. She wrote a piece here for the Wall Street Journal that published last night, saying it was titled "The Year After George Floyd's Murder, It's Open Season in Minneapolis," an apt title. And she starts it by essentially railing against Al Sharpton and civil rights attorney Benjamin Crump. This guy, Benjamin Crump, if you don't know who Benjamin Crump is, this guy is everywhere. He's at every police shooting. He makes it his business to be on camera, to be in the spotlight. And I frankly find it a little disgusting. He is the new Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton knows well enough how to stay relevant, so he brings him along with him. They let him march in downtown Minneapolis on Sunday in advance of this anniversary of George Floyd's death. What Heather does in this article is brilliant, because she instantly takes it from the reports about the anniversary and all the emotionalism that's tied up in that. And then we quickly move on to the fact that they are not marching for the hundreds and hundreds and thousands of other black dead people as a result of the rise in violence that these protests and these riots, these mostly peaceful protests, which is just garbage. Total garbage. It's gaslighting, and it is lying to the American people. BLM riots were not mostly safe and secure. They were not mostly peaceful. They were oftentimes deadly, and it was the most marginalized in our communities that often paid the price.
Look, for many of you that watch our live stream or our radio show, listen to our radio show, you know I talk about Relief Factor a lot. And look, truth is, I know millions of people are in some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older, that can do it. That's why I'm so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely seen this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their number of total happy customers in the next year, and I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, or even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain. So go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. The Talbots are amazing people. Check it out, ReliefFactor.com.
Now, I want to get into, I was talking about before the break, this article from in the Wall Street Journal by the one and only Heather McDonald, a friend of the show, a true thought leader. She's talking about the, in general, how we have scapegoated the wrong people. Now, this is a general theme that I'm going to be building out this entire hour, that the left has this glorification of the word activist. They lift up the word activist like it is, you might as well be a saint, a patron saint of George Floyd or whatever. They think activism is the end all be all. They think that rioting and protesting are one and the same. And the problem with their activism and their protesting is that it's all chaos. It all destabilizes the institutions that we rely on. Namely, in this instance, the police force. Now listen to this. This is where it gets really hairy. There's on April 30th, LaDavion Garrett Jr., he was 10 years old, and this is in Minneapolis. He was riding in a car with his parents when a gunman opened fire. A bullet pierced LaDavion's head. Doctors put him in a medically induced coma and removed part of his skull to relieve swelling on the brain. This is a 10-year-old in Minneapolis. You have not heard about LaDavion Garrett because there was no police involved. There's no protests to be had, doesn't line the pockets of Al Sharpton and Benjamin Crump. And that yet this is a 10-year-old that is fighting for his life right now. A victim of the violence that has exploded on the streets of Minneapolis, that is endemic of the same type of violence that has exploded on the streets of all of America's major cities. Because of jerks, opportunists, race hustlers like Benjamin Crump and Al Sharpton. On May 15th, 9-year-old Trinity Audison Smith was jumping on a trampoline at a friend's house when bullets fired from a passing car struck her in the head. She is also in critical condition at North Memorial Hospital. 19 children in Minneapolis have been shot this year, an increase of, this is staggering. 19 children. Imagine if this was your child. I've got two little children, and this devastates me when I read these statistics. An increase of 171% over the same period in 2020. And we've got this mother crying out. Or it's actually a grandma. This is Sherry Jennings, LaDavion's grandmother, saying, because a cop didn't shoot him. Why is nobody mad about my grandson, LaDavion? It's grandmother, yes. Let's go ahead and play that clip.
My grandson is fighting for his life. This ain't doing nothing. Why is this community not angry? Y'all tell me that. Because it was a black kid? Is that why? Is that why? Because a cop didn't shoot him? Is that why? Nobody angry? When is North Minneapolis going to stand up? When is enough enough?
That woman's pain is real. And she will not get a protest. She will not get a $27 million settlement from the city of Minneapolis. That same day that Sherry Jennings held that press conference for her 10-year-old grandson, LaDavion, another 6-year-old, Ania Allen, was caught in a shootout between rival gangs while in her mother's car. Ania is not alive still. She died 2 days later. Minneapolis homicides are up 108% compared to the same period in 2020, and shootings were up 153%, and carjackings up a whopping 222%. This is what happens when the left protests mostly peacefully.
Ever wondered how free-to-access social media companies make all their money? Well, by tracking your searches, video history, and everything you click on, and then by selling your valuable data. But you don't have to give big tech website access to your data. That's why I choose to protect my online activity by using ExpressVPN. When I use ExpressVPN, I'm anonymized anytime I go online. And your presence will be hidden, including your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. What's even more is ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from eavesdroppers on your network. And the ExpressVPN app couldn't be easier to use. You just tap one button on your phone and computer and you're protected. Take back your online privacy with the VPN that I trust at expressvpn.com/Kirk. By visiting my link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free on a one-year package. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Kirk, expressvpn.com/Kirk.
We're talking about the incredible rise in crime that's happening across the nation. 1 year later, we talk about the legacy of this. You're going to hear two different narratives emerge. You're going to hear the activist media and the left saying that this has been a change that has been long in the making, that we need to stamp out systemic racism in America. And then you're going to hear a minority of voices like Heather McDonald in the Wall Street Journal that are saying that you have scapegoated the good guys, that defunding the police is actually going to hurt and kill more Black Americans than increasing funding to police. Refund the police is a whole movement. So we'll get into that in just a second, but I want to finish up here. We just played that clip from the grandmother of the 10-year-old, so that was Sherry Jennings, the 10-year-old boy, LaDavian, who was shot and is fighting for his life right now at North Memorial Health Hospital in Minneapolis. But if we talk about overall crime, it's terrifying. The increase in crime is absolutely historical. Now, this single largest year-over-year increase of crime before 2020 was 1968, after the assassination of Martin Luther King. Violent crime increased in the country after that assassination by about 12%, and that was the largest on record. The Ferguson shooting in 2014, there was I believe it was 11% increase, so just slightly under the increase in violent crime nationwide that happened after the assassination of Martin Luther King. What we saw after George Floyd was an increase of about 30% nationwide. Now, that is much worse. Obviously, 30 versus the previous high of 12 year over year is dramatic. But what we saw in some of the major cities was even more appalling. Drive-by shootings and homicides jumped nationwide during and after the Floyd riots. Homicides rose by 50% in Chicago in 2020. 46% in New York City, and 38% in Los Angeles. The increase has continued in 2021. The number of shooting victims in Chicago was up 43% in the first 3 months of 2021 compared to the same period in 2020. Now, there was lockdowns in at least, well, actually, I mean, January and February completely open, so we're really only dealing with 1 month that may have been a little less than average because of the lockdowns. Through May 16th, the number of shooting victims in New York City is up 78.6% over a year ago. In the Bronx, the number is 165.7%. The Bronx, let me repeat, has seen an increase in shooting victims of 165.7% year over year. The media and Democrat politicians, this is straight from Heather McDonald, attribute this crime increase to the pandemic and attendant shutdowns. But the violent surge of 2020 began only after the George Floyd riots. That was more than 2 months after COVID-19 lockdowns. No other industrialized country saw a comparable crime increase. In fact, crime dropped in the UK and Canada, where lockdowns were more severe. So when the left tells you that, oh, this was a perfect storm of the pandemic and this and that, no. This is exactly because of the rioting and the violence of BLM Inc. and the bullying that happened by the mainstream news media against common sense Americans in the aftermath of the killing of George Floyd. And here's the really tragic part. The victims of that crime increase are going to be disproportionately Black. At least three quarters of Minneapolis's homicides and shooting victims are Black, even though they're only one fifth of the population. So let me remind you, we are at the 1 year anniversary of George Floyd, and there is going to be protests probably around the world. There's going to be marches of solidarity. But nobody's going to be talking about 10-year-old LaDavian. Nobody's going to be talking about 6-year-old Ania Allen. Nobody's going to be talking about 9-year-old Trinity Audison Smith, who's jumping on a trampoline. Nobody's going to be doing White House visits with their family members. They're not going to meet Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer. And there's not going to be news media and outlets all over the world covering George Floyd Square in Minneapolis where he was dead, killed. And I'm going to play clip 46. I think this is the most symbolic thing that I've seen of this instance. Now, this is 46. This is, I believe, ABC News reporter. He's got an English accent. I have no idea who this guy is. But he's about to do a report from the square when shots start ringing out. Play clip 46.
This bill of comprehensive police reform just got to be careful here with some gunshots. Excuse us. It sounds like gunshots. I'll let you know what this is. These seem to be gunshots.
Yeah, those were gunshots. One person has been hospitalized as a result of those gunshots, but it is the most symbolic piece of footage that you will see. And if you didn't see it, you just heard it. You could hear those gunshots right as he was doing the report. It took him a second to register what was actually happening. But nevertheless, all of this leads to the George Floyd police reform bill. Okay. And I want to talk about this because it's an absolute travesty. And unfortunately, I have to say something that's a hard truth. And that is Senator Tim Scott is going through this right now. He is the chief negotiator on the Republican side for this reform bill. President Joe Biden had put a goal for Congress to get this done by the 1-year anniversary of George Floyd's death. Obviously, it didn't happen. What's the holdup? The holdup is something called qualified immunity. Now, first, I want to say we should not be pursuing a police reform bill. I am absolutely sick and tired of police being scapegoated by the activist left, the radical left, by the AOCs and the Rashida Tlaibs. They are wrong. They are radicals. They are revolutionaries. They are Marxists. Nobody should be listening to them. Okay, full stop. And Tim Scott should not be pandering to these demands. I understand Tim Scott has his own personal experience as a Black American, but he should not be playing ball. There is no need for this. Qualified immunity is essentially it was established by the courts. It allows for cops to not be held personally liable if in good faith, if executing their duties in good faith, a violation of civil rights happens. Okay. Typically the left will frame this as an excessive use of force. So we've got some clips here that I want to play that kind of just lays the groundwork. Okay. Let's play clip 45 from Senator Cory Booker. Now, Senator Cory Booker is the Senate representative from the Democrats that is negotiating this with Tim Scott. So let's go ahead and play clip 45.
Qualified immunity is something I strongly believe should not be there. And I actually fully believe that in the course of history, it will be gone. I am trying to make that moment now, and I am fighting to make sure that's a part of this bill.
Right. So he's fighting to make sure that that's a part of this bill. Qualified immunity, folks, is what protects police officers. Now, if you don't understand just how difficult it is to be a police officer, you should go look at some of the crime footage that's coming out all across the country. We put it up all the time on Rumble, Charlie's Rumble page. So check out rumble.com, look up the Charlie Kirk Show, and we're constantly posting clips of this. And what you're doing, you're already seeing this attrition in the police departments across the country. And I've got some stats here pulled. I mean, it's just tragic. New York PD experiences 75% increase in departures and retirements. More than 5,300 New York Police Department officers have retired or submitted paperwork to leave the force in 2020, a 75% increase from the previous year, according to department data. That's approximately 2,600 officers departed, while another 2,700 filed for retirement. Sheesh. In Chicago, 560 officers retired in 2020 in a police department that had about 13,000 sworn officers as of March. That's about 15% more cops retiring than the previous year, when the number of retirements rose by 30% that year. In Minneapolis, about 40 officers retired last year. Actually, I've seen that number at 200. Minneapolis is actually reporting that they have a third, they are a third under policed. And actually, Jacob Fry, the mayor, the weak mayor of Minneapolis who tried to pander to these idiots, he is now calling on federal reinforcements to police the streets. So much for that defund movement. Now, they've since gone back on the defund garbage, but they're still trying to restructure everything. Now, you are putting these police in a terrible situation. You're making them put their lives on the line, and then you are saying, hey, guess what? In the most difficult of circumstances, in the most life risking moments where they literally have their lives on the line, and they are asking themselves, do I get to go home and see my kids? Do I get to go home and see my wife or my husband? Now you're going to take qualified immunity from them. And I got another clip from the one of the squad. This is just, I mean, Representative Presley, where she's against qualified immunity. This is clip 44. Let's go ahead and play it.
Well, you know, Craig, qualified immunity is an unjust doctrine that has been codified in statute after statute that has allowed for law enforcement to operate with callous disregard of black and brown bodies, with reckless impunity for our lives without any consequences. And we know that there can never truly be justice, because justice would mean that George Floyd, it would mean they would all still be with us.
That's not true at all. That's a lie. So qualified immunity already has limitations, and people need to understand this, that if you violate somebody's, if you violate a widely established statute or procedure, you could still be held accountable. There are still means by which you can hold police officers accountable if they are way out of line. Qualified immunity would be a disaster. We will lose police all over the country if you pass this bill, Senator Tim Scott. You need to fight back with everything you've got.
In 1857, the SS Central, also known as the Gold Ship, sank with 9.1 tons of gold on board. Valued at $2.1 million, that is the modern-day equivalent to hundreds of millions of dollars, the greatest American treasure ever discovered at sea. Today, Noble Gold, a California-based company with a pristine reputation, has a share of these coins available to their clients. Over 7,000 gold coins, mostly $1, $5, and $20, gold coins from 1840 to 1857 were recovered from the SS Central America shipwreck. Most of these coins were from the Ship of Gold, were quickly acquired by private collectors when the coins were first brought to the market in 2000. Now, Noble Gold's clients can get this unforgettable part of American history at a fair, affordable valuation. Contact Noble Gold and ask about the Kirk Shipwreck deal. To receive this unique offer, visit noblegoldinvestments.com and then call a Noble Gold representative to ask about the shipwreck coins. It's time to tell better stories at your parties by showcasing a one-of-kind coins from collection destined to rise in value. noblegoldinvestments.com.
Here is the truth of the matter. Qualified immunity is a protection that is put in place for police for a real good reason, okay? Qualified immunity, and here's the definition of it, is a judicially created doctrine that shields government officials from being held personally liable for constitutional violations, like the right to be free from excessive police force. That's the typical reason that they use. For money damages under federal law, so long as officials did not violate clearly established law. Now, even if they do it ignorantly, they can't be held liable. So their left-wing activists are very upset that there are certain police officers that don't get charged when there is a tough call, when there is a close call, when there's a shooting involved, when officers have put their lives on the line. Again, more Americans than not want more funding for police, not less. They trust the police. Who's the first person they call? Who's the first number they call? 911 when they're in trouble. They need the police. Normal Americans love the police. This is a narrative being led by far left-wing activists, and it's incredibly destructive. And I want to play this powerful tape from Minneapolis police officer Steve Dykstra. Now, he's now retired. He's one of these officers that has left the force as a result of all of this anti-police sentiment that's been drummed up in the wake of George Floyd's death. It's a really powerful clip. I want you to pay really close attention. Clip 47, play tape.
When police don't have any tools to use anymore, they they feel pretty helpless out there. Mm-hmm. You take away loitering laws, pursuit, ability to pursue vehicles. You don't have to stop for the police in Minneapolis anymore, thanks to Mayor Fry and the city council.
That is a remarkable thing to say. So when you take
away, cops get frustrated.
Wow.
And what you see is chaos, violence, and reoccurring crime.
You don't have to stop for the police anymore. And this is true, by the way, increasingly across the nation, where in California you can rob a store as long as it's not over $1,000 of goods, approximately, and it's not a felony. You can get away with impunity. You can run from the police, and it is increasingly looked upon as that if police officers give chase, if they pursue suspects, that they will be held personally liable, that the conviction of Derek Chauvin has had a chilling effect even after the killing of George Floyd. So now after the conviction has had a chilling effect on police officers. So guess who's going to get hurt? Black and brown Americans. So when you hear Ayanna Pressley saying that they have no regard for black and brown bodies, that is the opposite of the truth. It is a disgusting lie that she goes on with, you know, on MSNBC, and she purports to be this advocate for the marginalized, and yet it is exactly her protests, it is exactly her gaslighting of the American public that is leading to the death of black and brown bodies in the streets. And a lot of them are little kids, as we covered before. The Justice and Policing Act was already passed by the House. Joe Biden's calling for it to be passed by the Senate. All that's holding it up right now is negotiations with the Senate Republicans. And who's leading that charge is Tim Scott, who's already pandering way too much on this issue. The House bill would ban chokeholds, carotid holds, and no-knock search warrants at the federal level. It will also tie federal funding for state and local law enforcement to officials banning those practices. It would make it easier to prosecute police and create a national database for police misconduct. The only part of that entire bill that I am in support of is the national database for police misconduct. That's the only part that makes any sense. Now, Tim Scott is trying to say, well, you know, if we're going to roll back qualified immunity, maybe we just, you know, we can hold entire police precincts accountable, or basically trying to get it off the personal level. That's not good enough. Qualified immunity is the only thing that is standing between a mass, even more mass exodus of police officers leaving the force and not. It's the only thing standing in between complete chaos and some semblance of safety. Now, we are experiencing an incredible rise of crime. That much is absolutely true, but it is nowhere near what we saw in the 90s and the 80s. So let's hope that the insanity will end soon, but I have a feeling, folks, that it's only going to get much worse before it gets better. All right, everybody, I hope you enjoyed that episode. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of gaslighting. We got to keep the facts straight. We got to remember that when the left gets their hands on power, it always means chaos, destruction, and unfortunately, in this instance, it means lives lost for our most marginalized black and brown communities as well across the country. Thanks for tuning in. We'll have more Charlie Kirk tomorrow. He'll be back in the seat bringing you the news of the day. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back soon.